Good afternoon, friends. Carolyn Evers is here, and you know I'm just delighted to chat with you. I wanted to discuss something today that I think confuses people. You know, water. What kind of water to drink? I saw a fascinating article on the internet. It was a website, www.enlightentimes.com. And there was a gentleman, a physician, Zolan Rona, wrote a fascinating, well, I think it's fascinating because water has been on people's minds, but the kinds of water, you know, there's so many different kinds of water. And he had an article about distilled water. And I wanted to address some of the things that he said about that because there might be some confusion. There was some confusion with me, actually, and it's why I was interested in this article. First of all, let's talk about how water is distilled. I know this sounds like something very elementary, but I think it's a good idea to go over this. According to Dr. Rona, and I do believe this is accurate, distillation is the process in which water is boiled, evaporated, and then the vapor condensed. So we boil water, we evaporate it, and then we condense the vapor. Now what that means is when you distill water, it then is free of any mineral. And the reason for this is because we're condensing the vapor. If we could just be kind enough to hold the caller for a few minutes, I do want to finish this concept if we might, because it's kind of like right in the middle of it. You don't mind holding for a minute or two, do you, caller?
No, I sure don't.
Oh, that's great. So when the water is distilled, all of the minerals have been removed. Everything has been removed. Why would you drink distilled water? Well, when you drink distilled water, it's good because it will cleanse or detoxify the system. Now, this gentleman is recommending that you only do this for a short period of time because after that, it becomes a problem to the body. And I'll get back to this after we find out what we can do for the caller. And I want to get back to water because this article is extremely important. And your name, please.
This is Jean.
Did you say Jean?
Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Carolyn.
What can we do for you, dear?
Just had a quick question. I've got a spirit in my house.
Yeah.
And I told the spirit that I would find out what he wants or needs, because I tried to tell him to go to the light, if he'd help me find a key that was on my desk and disappeared. And as soon as I said that, the key appeared.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I said to get me on right away. If I was supposed to talk to you because I couldn't get on with anybody else. And so I said, if I'm supposed to talk to Carolyn, make it happen. And here I am.
What do you want happen, darling?
I want you to see if you can ask the cherubim if there's what he wants me to do for him or she.
Well, for sure they tried to get your attention, didn't they?
Yes. Yes, I looked. That key was right here, and it just disappeared, and it reappeared. So,
well, that would kind of get you going, wouldn't it?
That got my attention.
I would think so.
Well, I was told that there used to be a graveyard in my backyard at one time, a small graveyard, and so things have been appearing and disappearing around the house, and so it just came to me that the spirit wanted something of me, and I couldn't figure out what it was, so I thought I'd see if the cherubim could tell me.
Well, I'll be glad to do that. What I would like for you to do, though, is to call. Now, unfortunately, you didn't get to call us Saturday because Caroline Allen was on the line, and she's very good with this. You need, well, in my humble opinion, an energy worker that would clear out the whole area would be helpful. Call Wednesday. Charlene will be the next one that will work with that. I mean, either one of these ladies could go in and take all of those individuals that are in your area and help them towards the light, because that's what is really needed right now.
Yeah, I told them to all go to the light, that's what they needed to do, and there must be one hanging around that wants something.
Okay, before I go to the cherubim, when you said go to the light, did you just say that, or did you do anything else?
I just asked them to go to the light.
Okay, let's try a little experiment here. I want you to imagine the light, if you can. Bring the light down to your room.
Okay.
Have you done that yet?
Yes.
Okay, now in that light, I want you to bring forth a stairway that leads from the floor of your house, and see that stairway going up into the light.
Okay.
Now, you know you can invite them to the light. You can't force them into the light. You know that.
Yes, I know that.
Okay. Now, if you just hold that image, invite the spirit. Tell them that you're showing them the way, not to be frightened, and to follow the steps.
Okay.
Now, do you sense anything happening?
A peacefulness. So, you know, maybe they went to the light then.
Well, this is what I was feeling. They didn't know how to go to the light. And this was the whole purpose. When you told me that key was missing, I really felt that this is what it was. They wanted to go to the light, didn't know how. The fact that you suggested that they go to the light was not enough, because they were confused anyway. This is what they wanted to do. And when you said that, it was like, okay, that's what I really want to do, but I don't know how to get there. Help me a little.
Okay,
so that's
yeah.
That's why I was suggesting that you see the light, put the stairway in it. If this happens again, do the same thing. If you don't feel the release, because, see, I felt the release, then what you do is call. Well, this isn't a bad idea to do this in the very beginning. Did you call on Archangel Mikael's warriors?
No, I didn't. But I should have done that, or I should still do that and make sure that they've all gone where they need to go.
You see, if I were in that situation in the very beginning, that would have been the first thing that I would have done.
Uh-huh.
But I suggested that little experience for you, because I think that this is something that you could do anyway, Jean. And the thing is, there's, you probably know this, but I'll mention it for those who might be listening and who are not aware of it. It's very important for all of us to clear the inner planes.
Yes.
Because once we're going through ascension, there's going to be great changes where the inner planes are going to have to be emptied. The astral planes are going to be changing. And the souls there, I don't know if they know this yet, that it's necessary for them to move on if they're feeling an urge, but this is, in effect, a truth. The inner planes have to be cleared out, so you're doing a great service. Let me see, first of all, what Archangel Mikael might have to say about this.
Okay.
We had just done a conference call, and he was on board, so... He's kicking around here someplace.
Yes.
Let's see what he has to say. What he's saying, Jean, is that his warrior band of angels perform many helpful deeds for humanity. They are there for protection, as you know, and they work when in between the earth plane and the higher astral planes. They go beyond that, but a lot of their work works between the planet and the high astral planes. So this is one of the things that they do joyfully, and there is another element also. There are the soul that was helped over had no intent to be mischievous or to harm anyone, but there are some souls who do have intent to cause problems. And that is where my warrior bands work. They will forcefully, and he's using the word forcefully, take those who are troublesome, who cause pain in the world, and they take them to the other side. Some of them are taken to hospitals where they are healed. And some of them are not capable of healing at the time. They must spend a period of time in deep contemplation. He says you might think of this as a holding area similar to what you would consider a prison or a jail, though it is not meant for punishment. It is meant so that the inner workings can open up to truth. In your case, you were releasing a soul that had missed the first call of light, did not know how to reach it or find it, but was attracted to you because you have light. Your physical being was sending forth a light that is contained in your soul, and this being who was attracted to you thought you were the light, and they were to come to you. And that was where the confusion was.
Okay.
And so, in essence, Jean, you served that soul. And not only that, got your key back.
Yes, okay. Well, I appreciate that. I knew that there was something I needed to do when that key did that, so... and I didn't feel any fear or anything. I just felt a sense of urgency that they wanted something, and so now I can know what to do next time, or if there's a next time. So,
well, there might be a next time. You are in an area where there might be some earthbound spirits, and they're attracted to your light, so there might be another time. And you have some tools now.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, dear.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. So before Jean came on, we were talking about water, and we were talking about distilled water. In other words, why would somebody recommend that you drink distilled water? Well, according to this article, and I do believe this is true, you drink distilled water for a period of time to absorb the toxins from the body and eliminate them. So this Dr. Rona doesn't recommend it for more than a few weeks at a time. And he said if you drink distilled water for too long a period of time, or you're drinking it when you're fasting, that you can have a rapid loss of electrolytes. That's the sodium, the potassium, and the chloride, and trace minerals like magnesium deficiency. Anyway, he goes through a whole list of things that if you use it for too long a period of time, that can be a problem. Distilled water is an active absorber, and when it comes into contact with air, it absorbs carbon dioxide, making it acidic. So he is saying that the longer you drink distilled water, the higher the body's acidity becomes. So he's suggesting that to detox the body, you drink distilled water for maybe under 2-week period of time. And something interesting that he had in here, I thought this was fascinating, that there are commercial beverages that people consume, like cola beverages and other soft drinks, are made from distilled water. Now, I don't know if that's accurate. I had never heard of that before, but if it makes sense, because people who are making soft drinks don't want changes in the flavors because of things that might be in the water, minerals and so forth. So he's saying they use distilled water to make soft drinks, and if you're a heavy consumer of soft drink, that what is happening is you're depleting or it's difficult, you're eliminating calcium, magnesium, and other trace elements from the body because of the fact that the distilled water is attracting these. So it's a fascinating article, and I'm going to get that information to you again. It's at www.inlighttimes.com. I mentioned this because we have so many choices. We have filtered water that goes through charcoal filters, and this is something that he is recommending that I think is fascinating. Water filtered through a solid charcoal filter is slightly alkaline, and you're better off drinking water that is alkaline. So the other thing that you might be aware of is that your green drinks, you know, when you take greens, powdered greens, and mix them in water and drink it, that is very alkaline, good for clearing the physical also. Well, friends, give us a call if you have other things that you might want to discuss or other emergencies. Our number here, and it's a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. And if you're calling from Canada, we have a toll-free number there. And that number is 888-815-9750. I have, earlier today, right before we came on the line, I had a conference call. For those people who have signed up for my conference calls, why don't we just make a little note of that. My webpage is www.carolynevers.com. Up in the right-hand corner, there's a little button that has to do with conference calls. If you go in there, you can see the calendar for the month of September. We have some fascinating masters who come from the other side and work on these conference calls. Yeshua is discussing his secret teachings that he worked with when he was here in incarnate. Mother Mary has a conference call. The fireside chats are fascinating. We have several masters who come forth and discuss ascension. Archangel Michael has a class on the electron. Master Kasumi has a class on the light body. And what I offered this month, and we have a free conference call for those individuals who have questions and just want to field them to masters on the other side. This was the free conference call that we did earlier today, and it was fascinating. Archangel Michael was there, took the questions, covered a wide variety of topics, and was just fascinating. One of the questions that was given or asked of Archangel Michael If you've been watching the news, you probably are aware of the fact that there have been several earthquakes that have been occurring in the area of the earlier tsunami a couple years ago in around the Indian Ocean in what is considered the Ring of Fire. And somebody asked about that. And the question that they asked was if the damages or from those earthquakes had been mitigated by the group that came together at Archangel's request to do planetary service a couple Sundays ago. And we're going to discuss that as soon as we get the question from this particular caller. And your name?
Hi, Carolyn. This is Nancy.
Nancy, you've been on the phone all afternoon, dear.
I have been, huh?
I was just talking about our conference call a little earlier. Wasn't that amazing?
Yes, it was. And I appreciate the information. Thank you.
So what are you asking me on this call?
Well, I've been having a very, very vivid dream on the average at least once or twice a week.
Wow.
And I was hoping maybe the cherubim or whoever comes forward can kind of give me a little bit of information on it. It feels like or looks like that I'm being pulled out of my mother's womb, and I'm not talking about this present life. But then after I'm pulled out, I'm actually chopped up.
You're actually what? Didn't hear that word.
Chopped up.
Oh, my goodness.
Quartered-like. And
wow.
I would like some information and maybe find out if this is something that I need to clear. It's very, very, very vivid.
Well, you know this. Whenever you have a dream that is recurring, it's something to pay attention to. First of all, if you just have a recurring dream. Then if you have a recurring dream that is vivid, that means this is something that you really need to work with. And you have an energy here that would be, I guess it's fair to say frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so one of the things that you look at is the emotion that you felt that the dream left you with. So anybody that has disturbing emotions at the end of a dream, it's something that needs to be worked with or needs to be cleared. How long have you been having this dream, Nancy?
I'd say maybe a couple of months now.
Oh, yeah, golly, that's a long time. That's just begging for some sort of completion, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, before we see what we can find out about it, I would like to say one thing, because there are people out there listening who might have the same issue that you have, in a sense. What I've been told is things pop up in dreams for us to reconcile that we're having difficulty clearing in the in our consciousness. It's like they call the dreams the back door of our consciousness. So if we're not clearing something in the front door, our normal conscious waking state, then our soul takes it to that they knock on the back door and they're now working with the subconscious and hoping to work through whatever needs to be cleared. So I find that a fascinating thought, and I just wanted to pass that along because it's another reason why if you're having an ongoing dream that it's necessary to reconcile. So let's take a moment and see what we can glean from this. You do know that every individual uses different symbols. So
right.
Someone else who might have the same situation in their life that you're dealing with right now might use different symbols for it. So I mention that because anything that we say might not apply to someone else.
Right.
And is this what you were talking about when you were on the conference call? Was this dream the other thing that you were talking about clearing?
No, it actually wasn't.
Okie dokie. You're going to keep me busy, aren't you, Nancy?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what we can find out. Wait a minute. There are two cherubim standing there, and surprisingly, they do not have your book. They're not showing me your records, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
What they are showing me is what appears to be a TV screen. You know, I think we talked about this on the we did.
Yeah.
Archangel Mikael talked about this, and I'm going to mention it, explain it again, because people who might be listening out there were not on the conference call and they didn't hear this. Before we came into this lifetime, most of us had choices of several incarnations to choose from. Some might just have one. Some might have several. So we were able to choose which parents, whose biology would be the most helpful to us genetically to fulfill our soul's goal. So we had a choice. And when we were reviewing all of this, we were able to look at this in what I would perceive to be a television screen. So we not only were able to have some input, so to speak, as what the current lifetime would be, but we also saw in that screen the events that were going to occur on this planet during our lifetime. So Mikael mentioned that we reviewed this before we came, and so we don't remember this consciously, but subconsciously we remember the events that were portrayed in the world setting, so to speak, of this current lifetime. And so they first of all wanted to show me that so you could understand where this concept is coming from. And what they're indicating is these are events that you reviewed first and you haven't, I guess the word would not integrated them so much as being at peace with what you remember that seems to be in front of the world situation. A good question, a good word to describe that perhaps would be turmoil. I think we all realize that before we're going to be walking through a period of time where we're going to see turmoil in the world. Well, we're seeing it already in different countries. So we are seeing this. And I think intuitively, even though we don't remember what we saw, intuitively we know that there is more in front of us. Especially this year, we have been reminded of this because we have seen such turmoil in the weather. This is one of the things that has been, how shall we say, impressed upon our senses. It's like a trigger to memory, especially with the hurricanes that we're seeing and the recent earthquakes that we have seen. So they are triggering events that is pointing to even other events in the future that is going to show more instability. And so what the cherubim are saying is subconsciously you remember this. You're not remembering in your conscious mind yet what you saw before you incarnate it, but there is a trigger of anxiety because you are aware on a subconscious level that there is even more disturbances on in the future by way of earth changes. And so what this dream is it is playing out in your dream your unconscious anxiety over what is before the world ready to be played out. Does that have a resonance to you? I mean, can you identify with that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay. And so are you attesting to the fact that yes, you have felt anxiety over this?
Yeah, I have. Yes.
Okay. What you need to do then is to face this, to know that you have anxiety, but more than that, to feel peace, so that you can walk through this period of time knowing that you are protected and it is just a passageway. It is like a passageway through a corridor. It, you know, what they're showing me is, do you know what a fun house is? Where you like go to a carnival or something and you walk through the fun house and you kind of walk through this path or ride through this path, however it's set up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's dark and there are all of these things on the sides in the dark that is very frightening and they jump out on you and it's, they're showing me a person walking through a fun house and there are all of these things in the dark that's causing a great deal of anxiety and you're feeling afraid. And what they are suggesting is have somebody turn on the switch, the light switch.
Okay.
Now, if you were in the middle, they're trying to illustrate something here. If you were in a fun house with all of these dark things jumping out on you and scaring you to death, if somebody lit turned on the light, all you would see is man-made things that really have nothing to do to harm you,
right?
In a sense, this is your soul history, in a sense, because you have made the commitment to ascend and know that you are protected in this. So there might be many things around you that is happening that would be fearful or frightful, and what they are suggesting that you turn on your interior light and know that you are just walking through a dark hallway. There's a light at the other end, and you are going to traverse from this point to that point, and you will make it in safety.
Okay. Wow.
Now, I suggest that when you go to sleep at night, that call down God's light upon your soul. Align yourself with that. In other words, you are a part of that. You're going in the same direction that Source is calling you. And you are in Source's hands and you are protected. And then you go to sleep at night.
Well, thank you so much, Carolyn. Thank you.
You're welcome, Nancy.
Bless you.
Bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, folks, the number here is 877-876-5227. And something that Nancy talked about, well, she kind of brought up in her question, and I would like to repeat here information that I've received from the masters. Many masters have discussed this. Know that, number one, before you came into this lifetime, you made certain commitments. You made choices as to how you were going to lead your life and also how you were going to exit this life if that's what you were planning on doing. Now, there's soul contracts. And it is the contract, you might say, that you as the ego made with your soul, so to speak. And know that you can change these. Many of the masters have discussed this in one form or another. And you can review your contract in the sense that you make the decision that you wish to ascend, that you wish to ascend body and soul, and you are going to be here until that period of time comes when you are able to ascend. You can rewrite your contract. And the conference call, on the conference call that Yeshua did for us on September the 6th, he said that very same thing, stay in body, because the advantage that it is to us as individuals to ascend, to move up into the next highest dimension with body and soul together is so immense. And he talked about some of those advantages. And it doesn't mean that if a person crosses over to the other side before that period of time when there is a large group who will be ascending, it doesn't mean that they will not ascend at some later point, because they will have that opportunity. But if you take that opportunity now and make that choice that you are going to go through this to the very beautiful end, there are so many advantages to doing this. And one advantage is that when you go on the other side of that checkpoint, the other side of that divide, with your body and with your soul, those of the negative forces are not able to follow because their vibrations aren't as high. You can live in complete harmony and joy without the conflict that we find in this lifetime. And so if you stop and think about it, all of our histories of war, domination, and control is not there. So that in itself is a remarkable place to be. And subconsciously, we are remembering what we saw on those screens before we came into this lifetime. And so we are remembering them on a subconscious level. And it is easy to become fearful of that now that we're down here on this level in the flesh. But there is nothing to be afraid of, because Pope John Paul, in his book Viva Papa, and in other sources, that writings that I have received, they all say, go within. Go within, connect with your higher mind, be able to work from the heart, because that will, in essence, tell you where to be and what time to be there. And we can go through this transition in peace, in harmony. We can go through totally blessed and protected. It is all our choice. And so maybe what we need to do right now, everyone who is listening to my voice, think on this. Make the decision. Think on it right now. I choose to ascend. I choose to do this in harmony, in peace, being completely in the care of my Creator, knowing that I walk along this path, my guardian angel is beside me. I have at my fingertips the ability to call those in the higher dimensions to be by my side I also have the power to call those who can bring forth protection for me and my friends, my relatives, all of those that I love. I choose to be on safe land, and I choose to ascend with all of my God-given graces, blessings, in the calmness and peace of love. So we have the ability to walk this road, and we have the ability and the right, if we so choose, to walk it in peace and to be totally protected. So friends, you can call me. We have probably 15 minutes. My golly, the time flies when you're having fun. The number here is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, that number is toll-free also. It is 888-815-9750. I would like to mention, while we have a moment, do check my website, CarolynEvers.com. There's so much there. We have a lot of books that we have received from the Masters. There is the conference calls. And there is Journey to the Other Side, which is a 10-month course. Once a month, you get an incredibly gorgeous email that is like a book. It is illustrated, the pages turn, and some master or archangel has dictated that to us and gives some aspect of ascension. It really is quite remarkable, the information that is in there. Another thing I would like to mention, for those of you who listen to my Saturday shows when Caroline Allen comes and joins us, we are going to be doing we're setting up a joint conference. I'm going to be channeling the Masters, and she's going to be teaching a course on how one heals as she heals. And we have a caller, and your name?
Rosemary.
I just love it, Rosemary. You tickle my funny bone.
I love life. I really do. I have a question for the cherubim and for all of us. Many of us, through the gift and grace of God,
yes,
have been given pets that have held our hearts in place. And
you said pets?
Pets.
Okay.
Dogs, cats.
Yes, yes.
Iguanas. And
okay.
And even with our work on the plates and the other things, I'd like to inquire as to the ascension process for these beings. I know that many of them are choosing to ascend with us.
Well, you know, I think that's a very interesting question. Now, Rosemary, you are so aware and you are so attuned. Before I ask the cherubim that question, because this is something that I have spoken to others about, tell me your opinion of what's going to happen.
My opinion is that these animals will just love us, follow us through, and that's what they will do.
Mm-hmm.
We have faith, we have trust, we have hope, we have encouragement, we have a knowledge on their part that they can. The first time I took a long, deep breath, looked at my collie in the eyes and said, all right, you can ascend if you want. Here's some energy. It was quite interesting.
Did his hair stand up on it?
Yes, it did. And I do that about twice a day now, so she won't forget.
I love it. She probably has a better memory than you do, dear.
I think so.
She doesn't misplace her keys.
No, she doesn't. She helps me find them.
I had some interesting conversations about this. I think it was Archangel Michael. I can't recall now. And they were talking about animals that they don't have individual souls as we have an individual soul, but they have a group soul. You're probably aware of that, aren't you?
Yes, but when I got channeling that told me that this particular being was now choosing to have an individuated soul, I went, what?
Well, that's kind of like the next step along the line.
Mm-hmm.
It is like there is an awareness, a growth, and the way it was explained to me is that, a dog or a cat, whatever animal that we want to be talking about, their experiences go to the group soul, and all of the love and attention and all these other things that they were able to experience and enjoy now goes to the group soul, and the group soul develops, and that the next point after that is, as you said, an individualized soul, that they're going to be having the ability to do that. But one of the reasons why they are able to do that is because of the love that we have showered them with. You're probably aware of that too.
Oh yeah, she gets a regular shower.
Well, I just kind of wanted to get all that conversation out of the way first. I didn't want them to have to give me too many pictures here.
Okay.
So the question will be, I have to be careful how I ask the question or else mm-hmm. I don't get the answer that I want. I think we've established the fact that they have a group soul and that individual animals, as they are showered more in love, as they receive love, that they will be able then to individualize as an individual soul. We kind of have laid that as a foundation. So the next question might come that I would ask, what would be the next question that would come out of that I could ask?
And will they, according to their choice, be able to gracefully move through ascension with us?
Well, I can't ask that, but I suspect that they are going to be either assisted or held back by the amount of love that they have received.
Okay.
But let's see what they say. I mean, see, I'm thinking of some other animals who maybe have not been associated with human beings, have not mm-hmm. been able to experience some of the emotions that, say, the house pet has received. It might take longer for them, especially if they have been aggressors.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have a lot of things to work through, a lot of growth. But let's see what we can find out about that.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, they are so cute. She's standing there with a little puppy in her hand. And it's the most darling little thing. I don't know enough about the breeds, but it is, this little puppy has long hair, and it reminds me something of a Shih Tzu, except it's larger than that. It's another breed like that that has a lot of hair, but it doesn't seem to be as small, and it has some brown in it. And she's standing there holding the dog and kind of like petting it on its head. And she is taking an image. Oh, I know that you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. She's taken me back to that period of time when the animal life was being created on the planet, and I know that you know this story.
Mm-hmm.
The first life on the planet was the humans weren't here first. The animal kingdom was here first, and that was because the Elohim was experimenting with the different systems before the human body was introduced in this world. So they were working with the animals first to make certain that all the different systems would would be working to support something more complex like a human body.
Mm-hmm.
And they are showing me that group of souls. Now, this was on the soul level. The souls were above the earth, and they saw the animal world, and they were intrigued with the animal world.
Mm-hmm.
And they came close to the animal world. They would like come into their aura so they could understand it, then move away. They were moving back and forth, and they didn't know how to work with energy. They were inexperienced with energy, and some of the souls were trapped in the physical bodies of animals. I'm sure you're aware of that story, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so this connection between the animal world and the development of the human came at that period of time. So the animals did not have a soul. But then after that was clarified and that mistake was corrected, human beings then came into flesh. They lived their life, but now there was a certain transference. And what she is saying now is because of that mingling now, there was a certain responsibility that was made to animals at that point. It was the responsibility to help them develop, help them grow, help them expand because of this crossover, or shall we say, interference.
Mm-hmm.
So this ascension process will eventually move to the animal world, not quite in the way that our process has evolved, because the animals don't have an individualized soul yet. They're still working with the group soul, but that will change gradually. But it's going to be a longer process for them.
Mm-hmm.
But as far, this is from Carolyn Evers and not from the cherubim, but I think if I were you, I would keep on telling your little doggy that he can advance with you and individualize right away and move right along with you.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, the first time, this is a miracle that happened to me, and I'll share the. I was doing some work in my office with another wonderful clairvoyant, and she happened to be there, and she just looked at the situation and sat down, and then we went and did our thing and going and talking to the entities that we had to talk to, a very high light, and we looked around and she was right there. And they were as nice to her as they were as nice to us.
Well, animals, and I think particularly cats and dogs, are very much attracted to light beings.
Mm-hmm.
They're very much attracted to loving words. I know of other animals besides yours who really are working on that process. It's very fascinating how interested they are.
I mean, I don't know of many. I mean, this is what I was my training. I was taught to go through the doorways of the sun and home to counsel for further advice, you know, and construction and things that I needed to be about the Father's business here. And I've known very few people who can make it through that doorway. I remember the first time I tried it.
Are you talking about the central sun?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where we go through the alignment of the suns.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go through that, and you're home. And it's a lot easier than messing around with middle stuff.
Well, darling, you know you've got to advance enough before you get to the point where you can be invited to join. You know that, don't you?
Well, yeah. The first time I did that 30 years ago, this great big force grabbed me by the scruff of my sweet astral little shoulders and said, how came you by these presents? And I said, in service to a planet and its people. And they said, okay.
Oh, Rosemary, you have a dear, lovely heart. and it's just wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
As usual, you usually call. We're right up to the button where we got to say goodbye.
Goodbye, and wonders of wonders. Thank you for the service that you give us all.
And thank you for joining in on that service. Bless you and everyone else, darling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.